I'm so excited about this year. And you're going to say, no, you're so excited about everything. Whenever you get up and talk, it's like you're excited. Well, you can't help but be excited when you are a child of God. I want you to think of this. This is Colossians. It says, He, God, has taken us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His Son. I don't know about you guys. That happened the day my eyes were open and Jesus became alive to me. It was like that. It was a revelation. It was an opening of my eyes. You know, I was in a state of darkness. Paul says in Ephesians 2 that you were once in darkness. You were once followed the ways of darkness. You followed. And in some ways, what is darkness? Well, you know, darkness is hiddenness, but darkness is ignorance, meaning lack of understanding, right? That word, ignorance. Darkness is blindness. Darkness is a veil over my eyes. I couldn't see clearly, and I could only see the world. And listen, I could only see God, the world, and me through dark glasses, or really, and God had to bring to me vision. How many are glad that God brought to you vision, a revelation of Jesus? Come on. I don't care where you come from. I mean, I do care, but you know what I mean? What background you come from? You know, because some people, you know, like, are coming from a very difficult family background, like, or hardship of life, where there's been abuse, where there's been suffering, where, you know, home life was really difficult, right? And some people may be coming from a stable home, or, you know, so it doesn't matter what socioeconomic background you come from. It doesn't, you know, whether you're from a poor or rich condition. It doesn't matter whether you come from another culture, like some of us have come from other countries. The message that we have in the Bible is so clear. And I'm referring back to some verses that I preached on earlier, but really the message is a little different today. Because I said in 2020 I'm going to come back to this message about light. Because God came in as light to get rid of every form of darkness, every form of blindness, every form that man finds itself in, whatever condition you find yourself in, what keeps you in a place of darkness, what keeps you in a place of ignorance, what keeps you in a place of lack of knowledge of Jesus. Now, for whatever reason, the enemy wants to keep us in darkness, and I think by large it's for the fact that he doesn't want people to leave his kingdom of darkness. But there is also that part in man, that, you know, in human beings, that stays in that condition of darkness because it doesn't want, or somehow, I think, doesn't quite understand what light is, what Jesus brings. When I'm talking about light, I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about having your eyes open to what it's all about. But when I walked in darkness, I could only see the world through those eyes that were blinded, that had dark glasses. I'm going to try to use that analogy. But I could only see God through those eyes that had no vision, really. I can only see even myself through those glasses that were dark. Just using the glass analogy, glasses. Nobody really I don't think enjoys wearing glasses. You know, and, you know, first time, I'm not sure whoever wears glasses, I don't know. Do you remember the first time you realized, man, I need glasses? Well, it started for me a long time ago, and in my late teens, or in, you know, what's around that time, when I needed glasses, it was like, oh, I couldn't see the blackboard. You know, I had difficulty reading. So, or what? Yeah, back in the day, there was blackboards. Yeah, some of you wonder, what's a blackboard? And I said, uh-oh. And of course, we had to get glasses to get my eyes corrected. What do glasses do? Well, they give you vision, right? So they give you ability to see, and that's what we're talking about here today. Okay, we're talking, and so the optometrist, the optician, I think it's the optometrist that sees your eye, and they prescribe something that would correct my vision. You know, it's not complicated. And then, oh my dear, I couldn't believe. It was like 20/20 vision again, because I had lost that sight. And in a way, I'm using that analogy to say, you know, we all need correction in some way or another. Okay? Now, I'm glad there was a day when God brought me revelation or 20/20 vision to see life, to see God for who he is, see others for how he sees them and circumstances, and to see myself as he sees me. That's sort of the message today in some ways. Now, that was the moment. Now, initially, the moment was, it was like, yeah, God is not how I pictured him in my state of darkness. You know, I don't know what your picture of God was before you came into the kingdom, before you came into a relationship with Jesus, but everybody had pictures or vision or idea, right? And all of a sudden, the light comes on and Jesus is revealed to me. And the revelation of Jesus was love, mercy, compassion, grace, forgiveness, kindness. Revelation of Jesus wasn't like, oh, well, let me get a stick. You're a bad boy. Boom, when they were out of line. That was the old picture. Now, all of a sudden, the Word of God, it was like, before it was like, oh, I had to try to do something to appease God, to please God, to do something that he would accept me because somehow I didn't feel I could ever measure up to God. Are you, anybody here in that capacity at one time? Maybe you were, maybe you weren't, but I'm telling you something. I'm glad Brighty shared here. What can I bring to him? What can you bring to Jesus that's ever going to satisfy him? Nothing. Aren't you glad he brings everything? When I think about it, he brings everything to the table. He invites me to use that expression, to his table, to his banqueting table, to the feast of the kingdom of heaven. Everything he brings to the table, and he says, come. You know, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm so glad the door in my heart, God knocked on that door and brought light, brought revelation into seeing God as one who is for me, God who is pursuing me. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the, what is it? What door is that? Door of our life, door of our heart. Anyone opens the door, I will come in and eat with him. Well, let me tell you, what's he going to eat? He's basically what it means. He's going to have communion with you. He's going to have, we can sit down together at a meal, but he's provided the meal. I get to enjoy his presence and everything that goes with it. Aren't you glad? Thank you for sharing that verse. So let's just continue on then. So God has brought revelation. And I'm so grateful to that. I'm so grateful that he's opened my eyes, and because That has to happen for everybody. He is a light. In John 1, it says, he is a light that gives life to every man. I want you to hear this, guys. And I know that sometimes we're afraid to say the things that we know are true. There's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. How many know there's only one name? And it's Jesus. Some people say, plus you followers of Jesus are very exclusive. You're telling me that you can't have any other gods but Jesus? Yeah, I'm telling you that. Why? Because there's no other God who gave his life for you, first of all. What is the idea for God? But let me ask you a question. When you make somebody God, what are you saying? What's God? Give me some feedback. What's God? What does it mean to be? What does it mean to have God in your life? What are you saying when you say, I acknowledge you as God? Worship. It's like you're a being that's far beyond me and I give you worship. Well, let me ask you something. Why do we say that Jesus is the one and only? Well, first of all, he's the only one that offers to give his life for all. Let us quiet here all of a sudden. You know, cannot compromise on this. You're going to say, just in case. Well, let me tell you, just in case Jesus doesn't come through, I'm going to pull out another God. Okay, just in case I got several cards in my pocket here. Two or three different. Just in case this card doesn't work, I'll try this one. Are you with me? Hey, everybody, just in case this card doesn't, I'll keep other cards in my pocket because they might work. Let me tell you something. You can't go like that with Jesus. You can't say, I'm going to keep other gods in my pocket just in case Jesus doesn't work. First of all, Jesus is the only God that ever will work. Don't compromise. You know, the world will tell you, hey, we're living in a world where we got to just compromise. You know, especially when the world is all around. You know, one time, and I'll say this partly because I know this is the way it is. I know some of you are coming from other faith backgrounds. And I mean, one time we were all kind of in another faith background, just the way it was. I'm brown, so my family was from another faith background many, a few generations ago. Somebody had to make a decision in their life, Jesus is for me. Are you following me now? That cannot be compromised. You can't compromise on that. Conviction of that. Paul says there is no other name given among heaven whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus. He is the light of the world. He's the one who gives revelation. And, like as I said, why? Because he's the only one that ever gave his life for me. And he willingly pardoned me, gave his life for me, that I'd be forgiven, that I could be restored back into a relationship with God. So conviction of that should just be solid conviction in our soul and in our spirit, and be grateful for such a revelation of God. I mean, there's so many great scriptures. I quoted many of them before that I just think it's so important to have when you consider this message of revelation. Well, so what happens? When Jesus comes into my life, the light of the world has been given in John 1. It says, he is the light of man. He comes in, this is not complicated. Light just gives me vision. Light gives me ability to see. So when God comes into my life, the presence of God puts a different perspective on things. Now, what's interesting, I find, because it is for everybody, is that initially light comes in. Initially you see from God's perspective. Initially you receive Jesus in your life and things happen. You could all go back to your story when a greater revelation came and Jesus became real to you. It was powerful and it's wonderful. But what happens is We still live in a world that's dark. Are you following me here? Okay? There is still the opportunity and the potential for the enemy to keep us in the state of blindness and darkness. And so there is a place where I want to continually walk in the light. So I love this passage. You know, it's John 8, and Jesus says this about who he is and in regard to being this light. And I need to keep this in mind. John chapter 8 and verse 12. And it says here, when he spoke again to the people, he said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever follows me. That's pretty exclusive. He didn't say whoever follows me and follows other religions and other... Hey, he didn't even say follow other philosophies and ideas. He just basically said whoever follows me. Because he is the light of the world. So, if you want to have vision and a greater vision, greater revelation, a greater place where I don't... I don't want to be sidetracked. I don't want to be distracted. I want to continually be in a place where the road that I'm walking on, the life that I'm walking on, has light on it. Are you following me? Just see the picture here. Because as soon as I get away from the road that's light, I could fall into the ditch. We had some people over at our house the other day, and it stormed for 3 hours. I could not believe that much snow fell in a few hours. And people were having difficulty getting out of our driveway. This wonderful guy came with a taxi. God bless him. Do you remember? Obviously, he was blind to the fact that our driveway is a certain shape and certain direction, and he didn't stay on the path that's well known called the driveway. That's the path that you drive your car on, a driveway. And he decided to back up, and he went into my lawn, and he couldn't get out. He went off the path. Thankfully, there was a few of us that could get out there, shovel the guy out, and give him some direction to get back on the path. And away he went. So that was our first, we will call it, situation of the evening. So he was ill-prepared because he didn't know the path. All right. Then the other person who's very ill-prepared was the last person to leave our house. So the snow went from here to here by the time they left. And this person had all-season tires that are almost bald. And this person required a lot more help from those that were left at that time of the night, about midnight. Pretty well had to shovel 300 feet of driveway to get this person out. God bless you, Joel. Tomorrow, we're going to look for winter tires. I made the appointment. I mean, made a date with you tomorrow. So you're either prepared or ill-prepared, but the idea is revelation, knowledge, maybe some insight, maybe some understanding. Hey, you know, this person was ill-prepared because they weren't prepared for the conditions of the driving in PEI. Actually, both people probably had a bit of that. Lack of knowledge. Lack of understanding. Many different ways. So, now, when I, this is the thing, guys. Jesus says, follow me. I am the light of the world. Follow me, and I will be to you a light of life. I think that's amazing. We're talking about winter and snow and driveways and just talking about a natural situation. But I want you to think about life. How many of you know there's going to be trouble in life? The Bible says in this world you're going to have trouble, and darkness is still a part of the world in which we live in. In so many ways, whether we talked about illness today, mental illness, and we talk about physical situation, we're talking about, life circumstances. The darkness is a part of our world. I don't know about you, but just because I have come into the kingdom of light and come into a relationship with Jesus, who is the light for me and the light of the world, I still need to follow him. I still need to stay on the path. I still need to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus about everything in my life. This understanding that God has brought light to me, a revelation, he's taken off my blinders to him. Now, it's easy for darkness to still enter in. Thinking that's not God-like. Thinking that's not Jesus-like. Are you following me? So when it comes to the world around me, okay, three things. When it comes to God, when it comes to the world around me, my circumstances and people, and when it comes to me, I can still walk in darkness. Or I can walk in light. That's the message today, guys. Just because Jesus has come into my life, I'm still living in a dark, in the world of darkness. I have the light of life, Jesus. I can navigate and live in darkness because the light of life is in me. And he wants me to live in that kind of a confident relationship that no matter how darkness hits me, wherever darkness comes from in my life, light, which is the revelation knowledge of Jesus in me. There's a place of Jesus in me that once I have that, then come whatever, and whatever is going to come. Did you hear? Come whatever, and whatever is going to come. It'll be an opportunity then for Jesus to come through. Okay. I'm going to go to a passage that really, it's sort of like a different passage, but the Lord directed me to this passage in relation to this message, so I'm going to turn to it, Psalm 37, and I'm going to read from the, I don't think we have the Passion Translation, so don't put it up on the screen right now, okay? So I'm going to read to you Psalm 37, and listen to these words, okay? This is Psalm 37. I'm talking about Jesus, I'm talking about God being light for your path. Okay, I'm talking about that. I'm going to use some examples here. But I want to use the reference here. This is really kind of cool. In Psalm 37, in the Passion Translation, verse 3, listen to this. If you follow the Passion, the TPT, Passion Translation. Keep trusting in the Lord. Okay, you come into a relationship with Jesus. He's the light. How did you come into that relationship? Let me just stop here. You came into a relationship with Jesus by putting your trust in him. Your faith. Right? Faith is what opened your eyes. You had to come to faith. You had to come to believe. You had to trust. There's a verse in Colossians. It says, as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, so continue to live in him. How many of that verse? How did you begin your life with God? By faith. By trust. If you want to walk in the light, if you want to walk in 2020 vision this year, then you and I need to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord. He's the light in your path. Are you following me now? Trust in the Lord. I love this verse here. It says here, keep trusting in the Lord and do right in his eyes. Okay, I'm walking in the relationship with God, and I'm trusting in him. Then revelation comes. Insight comes. Because he's showing it to me. Well, let's ask the question. How do I know what's right and what's wrong? This is practical, really simple. Okay, when it comes to life and decisions about life, where do I get my answers? Has to be. There has to be. There has to be a compass. Now, Jesus is my light, but there's a verse that says, he is light, he is also the Word. Now, the Bible is the Word of God. Yeah, you got to kind of, here's the thing about the Bible. I think a lot of people take things out of context. Hear this. You got to read the Bible and get the message of the Bible, not just pull verses out of the Bible. Yes, amen. And it is through the Spirit, no doubt, because this is a book given by God through his Spirit, through people, right? It's the Word inspired by God. God breathed. But the Bible isn't just something, oh, well, I'm going to decide this day and take, you know, close my eyes and say, oh, Lord, guide me in your Word. And you point the finger and the Word says, let me just say this. It says Judas hung himself. Next place, Lord, I'm just going to open my Bible, turn the page, and put my finger, go do thou likewise. Do you hear what I just said? Is that the direction for you for today? It is. There is a place that, what does that do? That basically takes it out of context. What happened? I'm not saying God can't direct you that way. By the way, don't miss. But oftentimes we pull that up and say, that's what God said to me. Well, that's not what God's. Listen, when I say context, I'm talking the message of the Bible, the whole message of God's Word. Right? And that's why I need to understand this idea that, you know, what is the heart of God? What's God? What's. Message of the Bible is the heart of God in the Bible. It's about redemption. It's about love. It's about life. All of the things that we talk about, you know. So you got to see the big picture. That's what I'm saying. In order to be. So, but his word has. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. Or vice versa. There is a place where God's word, I'm going to say this because it's so important, time, I got to keep on that watch. So listen, last year I said something and I said, if you're going to walk in the way of the Lord, if you're going to walk in his ways, because I can't, it says here, I got to know what his ways are. If I'm going to live to please him, I got to know what pleases him. If I need to know what is right in his eyes, I need to find out what is right in his eyes. Right? So, I said last year, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you again this year to read your Bible. Amen. You know, some people say, oh, no, man. And people have said this to me, and I am so thankful to God that the verses of the scripture just pop out of me like that. You probably say, well, you know, maybe you do, maybe you don't. But just, they just come out of me like that. And it's just the way it is. God has given the ability to put these things. And most of these scriptures that are in my life, that are in my mind, that I can just bring back like that, been there for 40 years. 40 years. 20, from the time I was 18 to the time I was 20-something, I just, in the Word of God. Two, you know, probably a few years, like, intense. And it's just so. And then, you know what happens? Then you get comfortable. And you can rely just on the old revelation. Old knowledge. And last year, the Lord really just, you know, God can gently go, how many of you know that when God does that in love? You know, a little bit of, it's like, oh, went into the optometrist, God, and he says, you need a correction. I went back to the optometrist this year and they looked at my glasses. Oh, you could use a correction. That's like God. So he gave me better vision. And he said, you know what? You can't rely on the old. You got to get into the new. You got to get that fresh revelation. You got to get back in reading the Word of God. So last year I made a commitment. I hadn't done it for a long time, just sharing with you. I mean, I read, but I hadn't read through the Bible for a long time. So last year I decided to do that. Now, Shelly and I were talking the other day. Now, let me tell you, I'm not perfect. I've tried. I was about 14 days behind, meaning to finish at the end of the year, right? You understand? And I said to Shelly, she was like, I said, I'm 14 days behind, but that was a day that I had lots of time a couple of days ago, or whatever day it was. Maybe it was yesterday. I forget now. Might have been yesterday. Oh. Yeah, but I'm going to catch up. So I'm only 5 days behind now. Amen. Behind to today.
Yes.
And then I got to finish. But the point I'm making is, I'm just having fun with this, guys. It's not about being legalistic. Are you following me? It's not about God saying, oh, you didn't finish. It's just that I made a decision that God's word is going to be my light. And it's been an amazing journey this year to get fresh revelation, and not only just so I can preach. I'm not just talking about this revelation so I can tell you. It's about revelation so I can have a relationship with God that's even more intense and more real, more personal, more alive. Amen. And it's been great because God has guided and directed in many ways through. So I'm going to encourage you. So that's one way to read the Word, is to go through the Bible. Another way to read the Bible to get light and insight is we would call that a devotional time, a time where it doesn't have to be a big chunk. I may be reading in that big chunk 3 chapters at a time, you know. That's a lot. God can still speak to me through that. But sometimes I just need a quiet time with God. And it might mean just a verse or two. It's not like one or the other. It can be both, and it can be one or the other. The biggest thing is I want to have a relationship with God that is producing fruit, that's producing life. Because when I which is the evidence that I'm walking in a relationship that's pleasing to Him. So how does that work? Well, one other way that I do it, and I'm just sharing my personal story here, is I would, and again, I'm not regular on this every year or every month or every week, but I call it journaling. How many have heard that expression? I've shared with some of you younger, amen, young people that have just come into relationship with Jesus. Journaling is a great way. What does journaling do? Basically, I have 2 journals I'm giving away today. Okay. And this is for time that you can have with God. Okay, so basically what it is you just get before God, and you know, and you can open your Bible if you like. I would recommend you open your Bible. If God's directing you to a read through a certain section of the Bible, then you can use that for journaling purposes. Don't read a lot. Just read a few verses, even just limit to a chapter. And then ask God the question. Okay, listen. Ask God the question. God, what are you saying in this passage about who you are? What are you telling me about yourself? Good question. Second question is, God, what are you telling me about me? Third question, God, what are you telling me about how I should see the world or treat people? Just 3 questions. Not that all three questions will be answered in that passage, but I'll tell you one of those will. What are you saying about yourself? God, give me light. Give me insight. Right? That's what we're talking about here. About who you, what you're saying about you, what you're saying. And then, listen, stop and reflect on that. And God, by His Spirit, like Lynette just said, is going to give you some direction, guide you through His Word, and give you some insight. Who's looking for direction right now concerning employment, concerning career, concerning life direction? Are you anybody here? Well, then you can actually just, you know, if you, oh my dear. I got so much here in this passage that I wanted to share. But I want to go to that right now. Let's go to this here. So verse 3. I'm going to go back to journaling in a minute. Okay, verse 3, and I'm in the second part. Translation, Passion Translation. Fix your heart on the promises of God, and you will be secure. Feasting on his faithfulness. Isn't that great? Fix your heart on the promises of God, and you will be secure. Feasting on his faithfulness. Make God the utmost delight. That's, you know, delight yourself in the Lord. This is passion. Psalm 37, verse 3 and 4 now. But I'm looking, you know that verse, delight yourself in the Lord? Look what it's, I love this passion. Make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life. And look what it says. You put that in perspective and come to God, worship him for who he is, and start delighting in him. And then you see what happens is life and direction comes in perspective. It says here, he will provide for what you want, for what you desire the most. You know, it says, in another translation, it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. But I like what it says here. He will provide for what you desire the most. The reason I'm coming back to this passage is if in your heart right now, if it's a relationship that's important, if your heart is yearning for restoration of relationship, if your heart is yearning for breakthrough in finances, are you with me here now? If your heart is yearning for employment and direction, if your heart is, whatever your heart is yearning for, you're going to get it by delighting yourself in the Lord. Make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life. See, that what we do is we just scramble and we try to make it happen. Are you following me? What can I do to make this happen? And you know the verse in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Same idea. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding in your frantic, crazy ways. Acknowledge him in how many ways? All your ways. Not one way is hidden from God anyways. And he will direct your path. It all comes into perspective here when I realize that who am I delighting in? Okay, when you say, well, how do I delight in God? Well, you know what? I just go and say, Lord, you're so amazing. God, you've been so faithful. You've taken care of so many things in my life. Yeah, not everything is just the way it should be, but you've been so good. You've been kind. Here I am, 60 years old, still alive. And you know, there's so many. How many, you got something to be thankful for? Got to have something to be thankful for. Delight in God that he's given you a relationship with him. I just spoke to somebody the other day. I said, you know, some think about this. You have been chosen by God to see him. Come on, think about that. How many countless millions and billions of people are still in darkness? Had no revelation of God. You've been chosen by God to know him. Can you not delight in that? That you will not perish, but that you will have everlasting life. That's amazing. We can be delighting ourselves in God for who he is. Then it says, listen, I love this next verse. Verse 5. Give God the right to direct your life. Isn't that a great verse? You got to give God the right to direct your life. You know what that means? That God has more of a right to direct my life than my opinion. Some of you have opinions, and you think your opinions and your insights are greater than God's. Oh, you're going to say, no, don't be so mean. I know for a fact because I can get like that too. Your opinion and my opinion has to come in line with his word. with his revelation. So it says, give God the right to direct your life. When I say, God, you direct my life, then I'm going to go with his word, his opinion, because his opinion of how he thinks I am is more important than what I think of who I am. Amen? Come on. His opinion of what he says about himself is more important than what I think about himself. Him. Are you with me? His opinion of what he says about the world around me and the people around me is the light that I need to walk along the path. Are you following me now? It's his word that's going to give. So I give God the right to direct my. It says, listen, and as you trust him along the way, this, I love this. Give God the right to direct your life, and as you trust him along the way, you'll find he pulled it off perfectly. Come on. If I trust in him, oh my dear. Okay. Hindsight is 20/20. How many heard that expression? Hindsight is 20/20. What does that mean, hindsight is 20/20?
You see it after it's done.
After it's done, you're saying, oh, well, look how that worked out. Well, that's what he's saying here. He's saying here, if you give God the right to direct your life, as you trust him along the way, you'll find out he pulled it off perfectly. When? Hindsight. But can you trust him in the meantime that he's going to do it perfectly? I want 20/20 vision for my future. I want 20/20. I want more correction in my vision for this year. Remove all the clutter, remove all the distractions, remove anything from my life, God, that's going to keep me from seeing as you see. I love the next part. Guys, listen. I read this passage, and I said, this fits in this message. And oh, the Lord said, yeah, it does. It says in the next verse, he will appear as your righteousness. You know what that means? The word revelation, if you look at the word revelation, it actually means to appear. You've done some reading on that, brother. The word, first of all, is to reveal. So what happens here? It says here, he or to appear. You know when it talks about Jesus coming back, he uses the word revelation. You know, at his revelation, at his coming, the word is appear. Huh. He is appearing, guys. What does that mean? I want him to appear. So it says, he will appear as your righteousness. That's the message all in itself, isn't it? To see that, this, you know, because the first thing enemy wants to do when it comes to you, or a revelation about you, to you, the enemy wants to do is make you feel like you're not worthy or deserving or backup plan. The enemy will want to make you feel and look like and appear like to you that there's nothing right about you, that something is wrong. But I love this verse. It says here, he will appear as your righteousness, as sure as the dawning of a new day. You know, this is all revelation. This is all light. This whole passage is about light and revelation. Do you see that? He will, as sure as the dawning of a new day. Okay. That's for you, for yourself, to see yourself as righteous before his eyes. That's his message to you. We're clothed with his righteousness. Not to listen to the enemy where he wants to make us feel shame, guilt, and especially concerning the past. You know, so many of us feel guilty concerning the past, or feel something wrong, or something happened. I know the enemy kept me bound in so many ways until Jesus set me free. What set me free? You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What's truth? Revelation. Truth is insight in exposing a lie and saying, oh, yeah, that's what it says. When I saw that my past was really forgiven, when Jesus says it's forgiven, man. It's not to be remembered anymore. And the enemy just wants to keep bringing it up. So I just pray over you right now that you will see that he will be your righteousness. In this new year, as you approach the new year, that you'll live with that sense of understanding in your heart, in your mind, that Jesus is your righteousness. That he is your righteousness. And he will appear. My prayer is every morning when you wake up, like a new day, this will become a revelation to you. Come on. Who wants that revelation every day? Wake up knowing that you are righteous in him and he is your righteousness. The problem is we're looking at the wrong person. Jesus says, if anyone's in Christ, we're looking at the wrong person when we're seeing ourselves. We should be looking at Jesus. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Look at the next verse. And then he will manifest as your justice. You know, all these words are revelation words. The manifest, the new day coming, and he will appear. All revelation words, are they not? Something is hidden, and all of a sudden it becomes manifest. It's brought into the light. How many of you love for justice to manifest in a cause for you right now that you haven't seen? Where there's an injustice. How many feel that there's been injustice in situations? Anybody here besides? It could be your family. Could be. I have something in my heart that I feel is unjust that has happened. And I'm saying, God, justice has to happen. I'm not just talking about physical human justice. I'm saying, God, the enemy did something bad and rotten. And you said that the enemy's not going to win in my life or in my family's life. Justice has to happen. You know what it says here? It says in this passage, he will manifest as your justice. So I'm praying to God that a revelation would come to you this season for situations that you're feeling are unjust concerning you, your family, your health, your condition, whatever your situation is. Say, Jesus, I'm going to claim you as to be my justice. That's what it says here. Listen, as sure as the noonday sun. How often does the sun appear? At noon. Well, you might not see it. But does the sun come up every day? Okay. He's saying your justice will be as sure as the noonday sun. Let me tell you something. Jesus could trust God even in a place where he was being punished and persecuted and beaten and whipped. And he said, he didn't retaliate against those who did this to him because that's human retribution. Are you following me? God's not saying justice on a human level. Follow me, guys. God's not saying justice on a human level. He's saying justice on God's level. How many know God's level of justice is a lot greater than mine? You and I would administer justice as we would see. And that's tainted. As good as you think your righteousness is. Come on. Are you following me here? But aren't you glad when he administers justice at his level, it's always right and fair and perfect? So Jesus said when they were beating him up and they were torturing him and they were making mockery of him, it says he committed himself to God who judges justly. 1 Peter chapter 2, read that. If there's injustice happening around you, expect God to manifest, to be the light as a noonday sun. Amen. That's what I'm hoping for. I love the last part. Guys, this is so in my spirit, I got to share this last verse. Quiet your heart in his presence and pray. Keep hope alive as you long for God to come through for you. Isn't that great? Come on. This is an amazing passage, guys. Go meditate on it for a while because I can't preach on it anymore. Just exhausted the time here. But I'm just praying today that God will give you and I an opportunity to really seek him. How many are looking for breakthroughs? It says, quiet your heart in his presence and pray.
keep hope alive as you long for God to come through for you. You know what that's saying? As you long for God for a breakthrough. So I'm just saying now in Jesus' name, this will be year that God is going to give you greater measure of faith, greater measure of hope, greater measure of place where you're going to be in the Word in the name of Jesus. I'm praying that God will reveal to you. I'm by faith making the statement over the people gathered in this room that God's going to give you an opportunity to just go deeper in the Word, deeper in the relationship with Him, and a place where not only the Word of God becomes your light and your guide, that the Holy Spirit becomes alive to you. I didn't even talk about this part of it. I'm expecting revelation on an unprecedented level of visions and dreams and miracles and signs and wonders. I'm expecting God to come, to manifest, appear. That's what revelation is. Open up. I pray in Jesus' name, we're going to see so many things that are beyond. And I just pray in the name of Jesus that you and I walk by faith and not by sight. You walk by faith and not by sight, not by what you see, but walk by faith in the promises of God and trusting in Him. I pray in Jesus' name that prayer would become more of a passion. This is not just for you. I'm praying for me. God, make prayer a priority in my life. I pray that this will increase in your life this year. Quiet time with God, a place where you come into His presence and open up your life with Him in Jesus' name. I want to encourage you. I want to share this today because it has to happen in next year. We're into the new year within a few days. I'm going to encourage you for the first 21 days in the new year to pray and fast about things for breakthroughs. Now, let me just share with you what I'm thinking. You ask God what that looks like. I'm not talking to fast for every day 21 days. Did you hear what I just said? I'm saying you pray and ask God how you can pray in these first 21 days and enter into some type of fasting. That's between you and God. Okay, pray for a time where you can, you know, draw closer to Him. Pray for a time where you can pray to God, this will be a year of breakthrough. Pray for a time, this will be a year of revelation. So I'm going to encourage you. So beginning January 1st into January 21, let's think of maybe once a week. I don't know what it'll be like for you, but just consider it. Maybe it'll be one meal a day, or maybe it'll be fasting coffee. Do you understand? Fasting doesn't have to be a legalistic thing. It can be something that God's saying that I'm sacrificing so I can have a deeper walk in a relationship and a breakthrough. Amen? So let's expect God to do that. How many are excited about that? Join with me if you want to. Please ask the Lord. Don't do it because I'm telling you. Ask God about it in Jesus' name. Amen. Who wants to do some journaling this year that hasn't yet started? Put your hand up. Who wants to journal this year that haven't yet started? Journal. Okay, come and get one of these. Anybody else? Any lady that wants to do journaling this year, that wants to do some, you know, communion with God and write down those reflections? This is for a lady. Going once, going twice. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. So we just release the family of God. We release the people of God to walk in the light as God is in the light. I pray that we would walk as God is light. We follow Jesus, who is our light this week, Lord. I pray for more revelation, more vision, more direction. I thank you, God, that you are for us.